Hello, this is Missy Hollander from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer's restaurant reviews. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Before we begin, just a quick reminder of what the ratings mean. 5 stars means extraordinary, 4 stars excellent, 3 stars above average, 2 stars average, and 1 star fair. The first restaurant review is for Dante's Italiano. They're located at 13200-117 New Falls of the Neuse Road in Raleigh. Their phone number is 919-556-2146, and they received 3 stars. The first time I visited Dante's Italiano, I confess I was a little surprised to find the dining room nearly full. It was a Wednesday night, after all, and the location, in a dated shopping center that has been eclipsed by nearby Wakefield Commons, is hardly prime. Clearly, that hasn't prevented people from finding their way to Dante's in the year since it opened. Word of mouth hasn't hurt. Many of the restaurant's most ardent fans are relocated New Yorkers who have eagerly spread the word that Dante's is the closest thing they found in these parts to a taste of home. The dining room atmosphere certainly sets the right mood. Soft lighting, cozy booths, an eclectic assortment of chairs at linen-draped tables, and impressionist landscape prints on parchment walls make for a setting that is casually romantic and family-friendly. Hugh Sinatra crooning in the background, and you've got a description that could fit any number of Italian restaurants in any city. What sets Dante's apart from the crowd is the presence of owner Danny Gonzalez behind the bar. A native Long Islander, Gonzalez's career spans 3 decades, dating back to busting and waiting tables as a young man in Manhattan. He moved to the Triangle in 1992 to help open Margo's, and liked the area so much he stayed. The affable Gonzalez has clearly made a lot of friends in the area, judging by the number of customers he greets by name. If he doesn't yet know you, you'll still get a warm, welcoming smile from him as you're being escorted past the bar on your way to the table. Dante's is his first restaurant, but Gonzalez's experience and savvy are evident in his choice of fellow New Yorker Eddie Watson as chef. A veteran of Italian restaurant kitchens from the original Umberto's in Hyde Park to Sinelli's in North Raleigh, Watson offers a menu of Italian-American classics that rarely misses the mark. The starter list sticks to a familiar territory for the most part, from fried zucchini sticks to PEI mussels steamed in a white wine broth punctuated with garlic, fresh basil, and parsley. A mascarpone-stuffed portobello cap with a Grand Mariner balsamic reduction is a mildly adventurous detour. Personally, I'd stick to the main road and head straight for some of the best fried calamari in town. Exceptionally tender with a light breading, it's served with a rustic, moderately spicy marinara sauce. And you don't have to have New York roots to appreciate Chef Watson's textbook rendition of eggplant parmesan. You do need a big appetite, though, unless you plan on taking half of it home in a doggy bag. Like most dishes here, the serving size lives up to the Italian-American restaurant tradition of more than ample portions. That includes spaghetti with homemade meatballs, too, featuring hefty spheres whose size belies their delicate savor. If you're really lucky, you might be there in a night when the meatballs are joined by chunks of sweet Italian sausage and braised beef short rib in tomato sauce over al dente pasta and an occasional special offering of penne alla nonna. At the opposite end of the spectrum, grouper marichiera, moist, expertly seared fish over angel hair pasta, tossed in a light medley of tomatoes, basil, and white wine, is convincing evidence that the chef's talents are not limited to earthy, rib-sticking fare. Dante's brick oven turns out a solid rendition of a New York-style pizza, available with the usual toppings, as well as specialty combos such as the Parma Verde, zucchini, sautéed red onions, ricotta, fresh mozzarella, bacon, and pancetta, with a sprinkling of fresh garlic and grated parmesan. The crust, which is nicely crisp and blistery at the edges, tends to be soft in the center, a little too soft for my taste, though some New Yorkers will tell you that's how it's supposed to be. Disappointments are infrequent and, like the pizza, can often be chalked up to a matter of taste. For my taste, for instance, the hint of balsamic vinegar in a chicken scarpiello dominates the dish, and I would have preferred the bacon wrapping in shrimp amalfi to be crisp, not soft. Just outside the entrance to the restaurant is another sight that will be familiar to New Yorkers, a chalkboard announcing Sunday Family Pasta Night, adults $12.95, kids $5.95, and early bird specials Tuesday through Thursday from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Come to think of it, That probably had something to do with the packed dining room that Wednesday night when I visited Dante's for the first time. Again, Dante's Italiano is located at 13200-117 New Falls of Neuse Road, and that's in Raleigh. Phone number 919-556-2146. And again, they received 3 stars. The next restaurant review is going to be for Blue Mango. Blue Mango is located at 222-101 Glenwood Avenue. That's also in Raleigh. Their phone number is 919-322-2760, and they received 3 stars. Entering Blue Mango, your eye is immediately drawn across the room, where the wall behind the bar is spanned by a grid of black backlit alcoves, each in a different vivid color. In each alcove is a single work of art. Here a ceramic elephant, there an impossibly fragile spiral of sculpted glass. You've just been served notice. Blue Mango is not your typical Indian restaurant. Like the artwork in those above alcoves, the menu is a mix of traditional and contemporary fare with an emphasis on elegant presentation. By and large, the culinary show that's presented on fashionably elongated rectangular platters and elliptical bowls is backed up by a solid execution in the kitchen. Executive chef Sita Khosla's menu is rooted in the northern Indian cuisine of his native Punjab. But Khosla, who worked for 6 years at Azitra before partnering with first-time restaurateur Raj Patel to open Blue Mango in February, also has a flair for innovation. Tamarind-glazed honey shrimp is a popular case in point. If your taste leans more to savory than sweet, another starter featuring yogurt-marinated lamb nuggets sautéed with bell peppers, onions, ginger, garlic, mint, and masala spices ought to get your taste buds firing on all cylinders. Get an order of Blue Mango's excellent naan to go with it. Paneer Bhujri with porous cleverly combines 2 traditional dishes into a single presentation. Crispy cups of flatbread filled with a savory melange of homemade cheese, tomatoes, peppers, and onions. Masala mago, fried batons of yuca tossed in a light, spicy chutney glaze, is another winning starter. Blue Mango's tandoori take on a surf and turf pairs top round lamb steak and jumbo shrimp, both expertly cooked and served with cilantro lime rice, assorted roasted vegetables, and an exotically fragrant methi sauce. The selection of traditional northern Indian fare isn't comprehensive, but anyone seeking the comfort of the familiar won't have any trouble finding it in a number of guises, from classic curry to chicken tikka masala. If you aren't familiar with apricot chicken, count on adding it to your list of go-to dishes once you've tried it. You'll find the usual dal and aloo gobi suspects among the dozen or so vegetarian entrees, along with change-of-pace options such as bindi amchur, a delightful mango powder dusted medley of okra, onions, and peppers. Lamb vindaloo is rendered, although perhaps in an overeager attempt to cater to Western tastes, the sauce doesn't pack the vinegar-pungent wallop of authentic renditions. But the Goan curry won't let you down. It's one of the priciest items on the menu at $25, but delivers the salmon, shrimp, and scallop goods in a spiced, redolent coconut gravy punctuated with mango. Granted, there was only one scallop in the dish when I ordered it, but it was a big one and beautifully cooked. Prices are a little higher across the board than at most Indian restaurants, but they're not unreasonable given the menu's ambitious and the prime Glenwood South location. Odds are you won't even object to the fact that the papadum and chutneys that are elsewhere served gratis at the beginning of the meal will set you back $3 here. Unless, that is, you happen to be assigned a waiter like the one I had the misfortune to draw on 2 separate occasions. In that case, his condescending attitude and increasing inattentiveness as the meal goes on will eventually start to color the experience. The puddles of grease on the platter under the chicken samosas will start to look like ponds. You'll notice that the rice is clumped in places, and remember that it was clumpy the last time you ate here, too. You'll wonder why the garlic naan cost $1 more than the regular naan. If you're a restaurant critic, you'll spend an inordinate amount of energy during the meal spying at the waiters at the other tables, confirming as best as you can that they seem to be smiling and attentive. A few days later, you'll call the restaurant and speak to the manager, Patricia Patel, daughter of the owner. When you tell her about your experiences, she'll sound truly concerned. She'll thank you for sharing the information, which, in my opinion, any responsible diner ought to do. And she will tell you that she will address the problem with the staff immediately. And then you'll give Blue Mango the benefit of the doubt. you'll decide that it isn't fair to penalize an otherwise worthy restaurant too severely for the performance of a single employee. Again, Blue Mango received 3 stars, located at 222-101 Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh, and their phone number 919-322-2760. The next restaurant review is going to be for Maru's. Maru is located at 6404 Tryon Road, and that's in Cary. Their phone number is 919-803-4608, and they also received 3 stars. Maybe it's the season, but I can't help wondering if the hinges creaked the first time Don Yu opened the door to check out the place he would eventually choose as the home for his new restaurant. The building has stood vacant for nearly 2 years, after all, despite its location in a Lowe's food-anchored shopping center at a busy intersection surrounded by upscale Cary neighborhoods. For that matter, the entire shopping center hasn't been a hospitable environment for restaurants. Bavarian Brathos, Green Papaya, London Fish and Chips, Mythos Beach Bistro, these are just a few of the promising establishments that have gone to an early grave in Wellington Park. It's enough to spook most restaurateurs. But not Don Yu. As it turns out, the June opening of Maru was just a foreshadowing of the fearlessness of a restaurateur whose previous venture, a lunch spot in RTP called Confusion, closed last year after a solid run of nearly a decade. For Maru, Yu expanded on his previous restaurant's theme, offering a split menu of Japanese and Korean fare in a sleek, contemporary Asian setting. In a daring move, he presented the bulk of the kitchen offering in the form of the area's first Asian tapas menu. Perhaps the move was too bold. More likely, given Yu's style and the strongly positive early buzz about the place, he just wanted to raise the ante by fully showcasing the versatility of his chef, Sein Dok So. A native of Korea, So trained and worked in France for several years before coming to the States. Whatever the reason, it wasn't long before the menu was thoroughly revamped. An entree list was added, an ambitious offering that spanned the globe from Korean bibimbap to Spanish paella, intersped with fusion dishes such as Cornish game hen served on a bed of rice, coconut curry, and bechamel. The tapas menu was slashed from 30 listings to 14, essentially transforming it into an appetizer list. Unlike the entree offering, the starter selection remains confined to Korean and Japanese fare. But So's flair for creativity shows up frequently here, too, in dishes sprinkled among the shrimp tempura, seafood pancake, and other traditional specialties. In his take on beef courage, he tosses deep-fried nuggets of ground beef and sunflower seeds in a rich, subtly piquant sauce and serves them over homemade noodles. Some of the chef's innovative flourishes are more successful than others. Panko-battered wraps of pork belly and snapper are so dense it's difficult to tell the pig from the fish. Galbi lettuce wraps, on the other hand, are a delightful update on a Korean barbecue classic, serving up succulent, chewy, tender slivers of boneless beef short rib on crisp lettuce leaves, artfully arranged around a small mesclun salad dressed with a creamy cucumber wasabi dressing. If you like the lettuce wraps, you can score an entree portion of galbi in a Pan-Asian riff on surf and turf that pairs it with a tempura-battered soft-shell crab. More adventurous still is the Eiffel Tower salmon, an east-west fusion almost baroque in its complexity. While I couldn't fault any single component of the dish, roasted lobster, diced raw salmon, crispy wonton noodles, bok choy, mashed potatoes, and a soy Thai basil reduction are just the highlights, the composition of the dish as a whole doesn't come together nearly as convincingly as its namesake. But I can recommend, without reservation, Tacos de Pato, which serves duck two ways, roasted shreds as richly flavorful as confit, and a soft corn tortillas in toothsome, crunchy, crusted duck meatballs. I confess that based on my experience with other contemporary Asian bistro concepts, I wasn't expecting much from the sushi bar. I figured it was just a sort of culinary safety net, offering a popular alternative to those who might be wary of Maru's unorthodox fusion offering. I couldn't have been more wrong. It turns out the sushi chef is Sung Song, the son of sushi chef with nearly half of a century of experience under his own belt. Son worked in New York City before coming to the Triangle, where he most recently wielded the knife at Sono. Song can turn out eye-popping specialty roles with the best of them, more than 40 roles, in fact, including an unforgettable Kiss the Dragon that's flambéed at your table. but the veteran chef's mastery really shows us the freshness and impeccable knife work of his classic Nigerian sashimi. The list is extensive, though if a particular fish is out of season or doesn't meet the chef's exacting standards, he won't offer it. This is according to Angela Choi, the restaurant's charming manager and hostess, who heads up a friendly and attentive waitstaff. Judging by the quality of the sushi I've had at Meru, I have no reason to doubt her claim. In fact, I'd rate the traditional sushi offering here, which, by the way, is made with real wasabi rather than the familiar pseudo paste, among the best in the triangle. Good enough, I'd even hazard that Meru can defy tradition in one more way, by flourishing in a location where many have gone before that have failed. Again, they received 3 stars, located at 6404 Tryon Road in Cary. Phone number 919-803-4608. Time to read another restaurant review for Mia Francesca. Mia Francesca is located at 4100 Main at North Hill Street in the Renaissance Hotel, and that's in Raleigh. Phone number 919-278-1525, and they received 2.5 stars. As you walk through the front door of Mia Francesca, you can't help but notice the towering stone and brick bar to your left or the enormous pillar candle chandeliers overhead. Moving on into the dining room, your eye is drawn further upward along the 2-story walls trimmed in dark wood evocative of the old-world half-timbering. Set high into the far wall behind the balcony railing, you can make out a mezzanine-level dining room whose brick barrel-vaulted ceiling and wine racks call to mind a wine cellar. Back at the ground level, ladder-backed chairs, simple wood tables and booths, rustic board floors, and sepia-toned landscapes of the Italian countryside complete the illusion that you're dining not at an upscale Renaissance hotel in North Hills, but an inn in Tuscany. Add waiters in black t-shirts with the script Mia Francesca logo across the front, and it doesn't take a leap of the imagination to realize the restaurant belongs to a chain. But it is no mean a cookie-cutter franchise operation. The North Hills location is the first in the south of a popular Chicago-based chain. Founder Scott Harris still serves as a corporate executive chef, and his recipes are the foundation of the offerings. Each location has its own personality, though, as reflected in everything from name, the location in Chicago's Little Italy, for instance, is Francesca's on Taylor, to whose face is silkscreened onto the back of the t-shirts worn by the servers. In Raleigh, it's the portrait of Harris's daughter. In the same spirit, the menu boasts an individual flourishes that wouldn't pass the least common denominator test of the typical corporate menu. At each location, the core menu is supplemented by a fairly substantial local offering that changes every 2 weeks or so. If you're lucky, that list will include a variation, typically rigatoni or linguine, of Mia Francesca's exceptionally meaty bolognese made with ground beef, veal, and chunks of slow-cooked pork shoulder. Snap it up quickly, though, because it usually sells out. If your bolognese bid comes up empty, you'll find ample consolation in Pollo Arresto alla Romano, a menu staple since the original Francesco's opened in 1992. The dish serves up half a roast chicken and fat batons of rosemary-crusted potatoes, slathered in garlicky gravy, and I don't mean tomato gravy. Granted, the roast chicken and bolognese are protein and starch bombs, with the only greenery coming in the form of chopped parsley garnish. That's easily remedied with an a la carte side of sautéed spinach, or one of Mia Francesca's refreshingly different salads, asparagus, blue cheese, and tomato, say, or sugar snap peas, tomato, and cucumber in a light citrusy dressing. Fettuccine con gamberi, featured recently as a special, a list that changes daily, scored points with expertly cooked jumbo shrimp and a spicy marinara laced with barely wilted baby spinach leaves. If only the pasta hasn't been clumped together in several places, the dish would have been a home run. Likewise, an otherwise commendable presentation of carpaccio, an edible stained glass window of rosy petals of beef, diced tomatoes, capers, mushrooms, and shaved parmigiano, were marred only by beef slices around the perimeter that were stuck firmly to the rim of the platter. A quattro stagione pizza tantalized with prosciutto, artichoke, mushrooms, olives, and in the middle of a soft-cooked egg, whose yolk the server ladled out over the rest of the pie. But the crust, lackluster and a bit tough, failed to live up to the topping. The number of misses is higher than you'd like to see in a restaurant that's been open a year now, but they are, with few exceptions, near misses. You're not likely to encounter an out-and-out disappointment from the kitchen. Unfortunately, the same can't be said for the waitstaff, whose level of experience varies widely. Depending on which one gets your table, you may encounter smooth sailing or find yourself beached on the shoals of inattentiveness, parched for a water refill or another glass of wine from that gravity-defying cellar, a solid selection that's divided roughly equally between Old World, mostly Italian, and New World. Of course, you could always plan on dining early in the hope that even if you're assigned an inexperienced waiter, a less crowded dining room will improve your chances for success. As a bonus, your chances of scoring an order of bolognese are that much better. Again, Mia Francesca received 2.5 stars. Located in the Renaissance Hotel at 4100 Main Street at North Hills. And their phone number, once again, is 919-278-1525. And if you've got time to read a couple of quick shorts in the restaurant reviews. Two local sports pubs find a way to distinguish themselves. Family-friendly sports pubs were a little more than a blip on the radar of restaurant categories just a decade ago. Now they're everywhere, giving national chains like Applebee's and Chili's competition for a slice of the suburban household budget pie. Inevitably, though, success breeds imitation. Whether it's fried pickles or a selection of local beers on tap, a proven bestseller at one pub quickly becomes obligatory at the rest. Even locally owned pubs are, with few exceptions, nearly as indistinguishable from one another as those national chains. JD Taverns and Mahoney's Pub are two of the exceptions. Not that either offers any groundbreaking changes in style or menu, though each can claim a few distinctive dishes. What sets these two pubs apart from the crowd is something more intangible, a hint of old-fashioned corner tavern behind all those flat-screen TVs. Maybe it's the fact that both are smaller than the typical sports pub, or maybe it's the friendliness of the servers. Then again, it just might have something to do with the fact that the owners' names, or in the case of JD's, initials, are on the door. JD's Tavern is located at 800 West William Street in Apex, and their phone number is 919-629-7285. JD's is named for owners Jim Mallon and Dave Yoder, whose friendship goes back decades to their high school days in Ohio. It isn't surprising, then, that the menu's strong suit is hearty middle American fare. The signature patty melt, made with a hefty 9-ounce piece of beef grilled to order, is served on marbled rye and topped with grilled onions and a lava flow of molten American and Swiss cheeses. Get it with a side of onion rings, which are cut and battered in-house and fried to a crunchy, not-too-greasy turn. And, why not, round it all off with an old-fashioned milkshake. Chicken wings deserve their description as jumbo and are available in classic fried and trendy grilled versions. Either way, they deliver the goods. So do fish and chips, which features pollock in a Yuengling beer batter crust that comes closer to most than the mark. You won't even mind that the chips are in fact standard American seasoned fries. The menu occasionally ventures into more exotic territory, such as sweet and spicy shrimp, Cajun spice served with a sweet chili sauce and fresh basil, and Hawaiian chicken sandwich. An entree of sautéed tilapia with sun-dried tomatoes and feta, a summertime offering no longer on the menu, was a disappointment. Bacon and cheese-stuffed jalapeno poppers came closer to the mark. Still, I'd say a good rule of thumb when ordering at JD's Tavern is stick to the middle of the road, and if that road runs through Ohio, so much the better. The other pub is Mahoney's Pub, located at 6490 Tryon Road in Cary, and their phone number is 919-322-2509. If the name had you thinking that Mahoney's is an Irish pub, you're only part right. Sure, there's an Erin Go Bragh flag over the bar and a couple of neon shamrocks on the wall. There might even be game of darts in progress or Irish folk tunes playing in the background. By and large, though, cliches are kept to a minimum at Mahoney's, where the ambiance is as much as an American neighborhood sports bar as it is Irish pub. The menu is likewise a melting pot of old world and new. You'll find most of the usual pub notch suspects, from burger to buffalo wings, as well as a wide assortment of sandwiches. Corned beef on rye, if you're feeling Irish, or a Kilkenny hot brown, sliced turkey with tomato and bacon, served open-faced under a blanket of Mornay sauce. Or across the Atlantic for a shrimp po' boy, or a Carolina crab cake sandwich with Old Bay remoulade. Even more of the Irish dishes under the signature entrees heading turned out to be more Irish-American. Fish and chips are made with swa, a mild white fish that's not all traditional, but as it turns out to be up to the task. And the chips are house-fried thick American-style potato chips. Still, if you're not a stickler for authenticity, it's a worthy option. So it's the shepherd's pie with a richly savory filling of ground beef and surprisingly more corn than any other vegetable under a thick layer of mashed potatoes. If the potatoes had been sufficiently browned when I ordered the dish, it would have been better. Mahoney's is owned by Dennis Mahoney, who also owns Max Tavern, and his sister, Sheila Ryan. The siblings grew up in New York and have fond memories of the Irish pub that their uncle ran some 25 years in Greenwich, Connecticut. You might say they were born with Guinness in their veins, but clearly they are not averse to an infusion of local brew. And just very quickly in restaurant news, a Raleigh brewery is in the works. Raleigh Brewery Company, located across from Meredith College, hopes to open late winter or early spring. President Christy Neistat said she and her husband Patrick have been home brewers for about a decade. They were approached a few years ago by the folks behind Loomwood Grill about opening a brewery associated with the restaurant. While that idea didn't work out, she said that they couldn't shake off the idea of starting a brewery. 4 months ago, they found a location behind Breensprout Chinese Restaurant on Hillsborough Street. They hired John Federal as their brewer. Federal is well known among Raleigh homebrewers as the general manager and brewing instructor and American brewmaster for more than 4 years. Neistat said that they plan to launch 6 beers, a Scotch Ale, a Rye IPA, a Belgium Golden, a Robust Porter, an English Bitter, and a Raleigh Uncommon. The last will be their gateway beer for those who prefer Budweiser and other macro brews. Not only will they be brewing beer and hosting the public in a 2,800-square-foot tasting room, but Neistat said they will be reselling and distributing commercial brewing equipment. For more information about the brewery, you can go to RaleighBreweryCompany.com. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Missy Hollander, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.